plus I can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this, it's automatic. I win this. Yo, you hear those horns, you finished. A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on you chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails. Plus I keep it on lock like I'm part of the jail. I'm slaughtering stale competition. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they gone fishing with no bait. Kid, your boy hold weight. I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any weather, I'm never better. Your boy's so hot, you never catch me in the next man's sweater. If they hate, let them hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 second tan.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, yeah. My time is now.
It's gonna be what it's gonna be. 5 pounds of courage, buddy, base, 10 pants with a gold tee. It's a war dance, a victory step. A boss stance is a gift, and you insist it's my rep. John Cena trademark, y'all are so-so. And talk about the bread you make, but don't know the recipe for dodo. Aiming guns in all your photos, that's a no-no. In this pop, your lip lock, your big talks are blatant no-so. See what happens when the ice age melts. It seems monetary status is not what matters, but it helps. I'm rockin' timepiece by Benny, if any. The same reason y'all could love me is the same reason y'all condemn me. A man's measured by the way that he thinks. Not clothing lines, ice links, leather and minx. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge of self. So for now, Mark Brecker's living life for wealth.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. Your time is up, my time is now.
What's up, listeners? It is Thursday, October 20th, and you are listening to The Elephant in the Room on 93.1 or khdx.fm. That was a new opening line. That one actually came out a lot better. Someone complained to me about my opening lines. Anyway, so let's see. Get right on the road here with The Elephant in the Room. I'm your host, Chris Roberts. Once again, the host doesn't change, but you gotta let you know. Let's talk about what happened last night, and it'll kind of feed into my first story of the day. I wrote most of these wrote most of the notes for these stories before the debate, or actually all of them before the debate happened. I got a bit of a big test tomorrow, but that ain't going to stop me from getting in here and speaking for an hour or so. If you watched the debate last night, it wasn't anything more than we expected. You know, bad hombres was a hilarious comment. I mean, that really stole the night, and of course, him not accepting the election results, or possibly leaving us in suspense, as he would like to say it. And so that really, you know, I'm not going to talk too much about the debate. If you watched, you watch. If you didn't, there's no reason for me to talk about it anyway. I turned it off at 9 o'clock for South Park, so I'm, to be completely honest, you know, nothing new was coming out of that other than, you know, wrong, wrong, wrong. So, but what is important to talk about is Trump not accepting the election results. And so, or possibly not, you know, he used to leave us in suspense, as I said. So, what he's really hinting at is voter fraud in the United States. And so I kind of went out of my way to, you know, try to find, you know, a 10 or so instances of voter fraud in the United States, if I could find them. And I did. And then, you know, also just how widespread or non-widespread they really are. So, you know, it's been a big heart point on a bit of his campaign. So if he does lose, he has justification for losing. So but anyway, I tried to find out just how real voter fraud is. So I looked around, and the first case I found comes from Colorado, where the Secretary of State in Colorado found that dead people had been voting. Now, in Colorado, a deceased World War II veteran was found to have cast ballots in the 2010, 11, and 12 elections after he had died in 2007. In addition, a woman who died in 2009 also cast ballots in these same elections. But the key point there is that the Colorado Secretary of State did persecute them, but only after they had voted in 3 or 4 elections. So next up, illegal immigrants were found to have been voting in Virginia, where close to 1,100 illegal immigrants were registered to vote. This fraud was only discovered after one of the illegal immigrants attempted to get a driver's license and revealed to the person at the DMV that he was registered to vote, which didn't really make much sense, which prompted an investigation. In Pennsylvania, a report last year showed that more than 700 voters voted twice, and astoundingly, 43,000 voters in Pennsylvania had duplicate registration cards in Pennsylvania or other states. Just out of Texas this past week, where in Tarrant County, an investigation has been opened up in regards to if political operatives have been filling out out-of-state ballots for voters without their knowledge. So, like, for a lot of people that go to Hendrix, you know, you do a out-of-state ballot or a absentee ballot if you're, like, from Texas. And so there, some people have been filling them out in Tarrant County for people who may be registered, but obviously aren't going to turn in an absentee ballot, or maybe they did. Then in Indiana, we've got 56 counties are all under individual investigation by state police for registration fraud. The police believe there could be hundreds of fraudulent voter registration records with different combinations of made-up names, addresses, with people's real information. In Oklahoma, three people are under investigation after voting twice in presidential primaries. All three submitted absentee ballots before showing up at polling locations a few hours later to vote again. It just keeps going. In Kentucky, an individual was just convicted after he was charged with four counts of intimidating an election officer and one count of interfering with an election officer in Pike County. In Wisconsin, like, I could keep going here. I only got a few more, but in Wisconsin, six underage 17-year-olds were found to have voted because poll workers did not verify the age of the high schoolers. And lastly, in Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State's office mailed out 2.5 million voter registration postcards, as i.e. you are registered to vote now, to people who are not registered to vote. So what does all that really mean? Well, these seem to be very isolated cases on the surface, or meaning that it doesn't seem to be a huge problem. I mean, or is it? And the only grain of salt I have to take with these, and I guess maybe we should all take them with a grain of salt, is that, you know, these weren't hard to find. These are cases that pop up every few weeks, every month or so, that, you know, that happen. And so, you know, you could say, no, voter fraud doesn't happen, Donald, that's impossible. Or you could say, well, how much of it are we catching? So you see how his argument could easily fuel, you know, the idea of a rigged election. You know, each case had a different modus operandi for fraud. I mean, it's all different versions, everything from filling out ballots for people to registering people who aren't registered, you know. Could it mean that it's more widespread? You know, I think it's definitely up to the listener, but, you know, they aren't hard to find. It does kind of beg a question. But does that mean that, you know, the election is so rigged that Donald's going to lose? No. And by rigged, he probably means that everybody's against him, which is only a fault of his own. So, anyway, I hope you kind of got a little bit of what I was saying there, you know, just how isolated yet sometimes widespread these fraud cases can be. You know, they do happen, you know, whether or not on purpose or by accident, you know, they do happen. So anyway, the next story up, I'm gonna play a little music first. Found a cool little study done that basically essentially says that we don't know what communism is. And by we, I mean millennials. So I'll report on the study on that, and I'll see y'all in a few.
The lights all out in the night.
What's up, KHX listeners? Just real quick, that was Fire by Blau. That's with the three, the DJ guy, if you're familiar. And anyway, before the break, I said we were talking about a little bit about, you know, this weird, you know, not really a weird story. I just came across it in the Washington Post about the, technically, you know, essentially the victims of the Communism Memorial Foundation claim that widespread ignorance of the system of government and its features is fueling positive ideas about the estranged political system for millennials. They cite a poll by YouGov where 80% of baby boomers and 91% of elderly agree with the statement that quote-unquote communism was and still is a problem in the world today, where only 55% of millennials feel the same. Furthermore, half of Americans between ages 16 and 20 said they'd vote socialist, and 21% said they'd even vote communism or communist. Capitalism, on the other hand, is viewed favorably by 64% of those over the age of 65, compared with only 42% of millennials. In fact, more than half of millennials say the economic system works against them, while 4 out of 10 call for a complete change to ensure that the highest earners pay their fair share. The foundation blames the millennial lack of historical perspective. For instance, a third of millennials believe, according to the study, that George W. Bush killed more people than Joseph Stalin. Most millennials are extremely unfamiliar with communist leaders in general. According to the poll, 42% said they were unfamiliar with Mao Zedong. 40% said they were unfamiliar with Che Guevara. I hate this name. Guevara. An astonishing 33% say had never heard of Lenin or Marx. And 18% said they hadn't even heard of Putin and Stalin. One of the concerns the foundation has, said Marianne Smith, is since its establishment, is that an emerging generation of Americans has little understanding of the collectivist system and its dark history. She went on to say, unfortunately, this report, which we intend to release on an annual basis, confirms this worrisome impression. So, I'll tell you, this is kind of disheartening right here. You know, I've talked to multiple people on this campus even who believe that a collective government or communism is all pixels and daisies. Pixels. They are too stupid to pick up a book or a laptop or even figure out why it failed in the first place. Communism is a bit of a paradox when you get down to it. It claims to be a collectivization of the people, yet that can't happen with an absolutist government calling the shots. The idea that Marxism will just happen and everybody will carry out a working man's revolution is absurd and has been proven to be absurd. At least these are my opinions. I'm a little heated about this one, but communism is a perfect tool for totalitarian governments to express their power. But you don't have to take it from me. Just look up the Soviet Union. Look up Cuba. Look up Mao Zedong, since 42% of us don't know who the heck he is. Read its history. Read what the people felt under the regime. And quick tip, it wasn't very good. If you agree with communism and are listening to this show, I implore you to do your research. In theory, yes, communism works, but rarely in theory is theory perfectly applied to real life. I just couldn't believe it when I read this stuff. I was like, there's just no way. And so I had to like dig around. This is actually a YouGov poll and a poll done by multiple other polling locations where they, are verified that this is actually how people in our age group feel. So if you don't know, or if you have these estranged ideas about the collective system, please just go read up on it. I mean, I'm all for like social democracies and things of a small bit of welfare system, but to think this is just miseducation. They're totally right. So get educated. Anyway. So I'm gonna play a little bit more music, and I'll play a little bit of I'm actually gonna play Airplanes by B.O.B. Got the Eminem version in there too, so that's good. Speaking of, he just released that new Fire track. He just killed Donald in that track. It's just 8 minutes of him just screaming the F word a lot, but it's pretty funny. So when I come back, I'm gonna talk about Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. He says he wants to kill cash, and after that, we'll talk a little bit about a recreational, you know what, in California. Anyway, I'll see y'all in a few.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I could really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now. I
styrofoam trays. Yeah. Trying to be the next rapper coming out the eight. Hoping for a record deal to ignore my pain. Yeah. Now let's pretend like I'm on the stage. And when my beat drops, everybody goes insane. Okay. And everybody know my name. And everywhere I go, people wanna hear me sing. Oh yeah, and I just dropped my new album. On the first week, I did 500,000. Yes. Gold in the spring and diamond in the fall. Okay. And then a world tour just to top it all off. And let's pretend like they call me the greatest. Yeah. Selling out arenas with big stages. And everybody love me and no one ever hated. Just try to use imagination.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now.
Okay. Let's pretend like this never happened. Like I never had dreams of being a rapper. Like I didn't write raps up in all of my classes. Like I never used to run away into the blackness now. Let's pretend like it was all good. Like I didn't live staring in the notebook. Like I did the things that I probably knew I should. But I ain't have neighbors, that's why they call it hood. Yeah, now let's pretend like I ain't got a name. Before they ever call me B.O.B. or A.K.A. Bobby Ray. I'm talking back before the mixtapes. Before the videos and the deals and the fame. Before they ever once compared me to Andre. Before I ever got on my space. Before they ever noticed my face. So let's just pretend and make wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now.
And it seems like yesterday, it was just a dream. But those days are gone, they're just memories. And it seems like yesterday, it was just a dream. But those days are gone.
Alright. Let's pretend Marshall Mathers never picked up a pen. Let's pretend things would have been no different. Pretend he procrastinated, had no motivation. Pretend he just made excuses that were so paper thin they could blow away with the wind. Marshall, you're never gonna make it. Makes no sense to play the game, there ain't no way that you'll win. Pretend he just stayed outside all day and played with his friends. Pretend he even had a friend to say was his friend. And it wasn't time to move and schools weren't changing again. He wasn't socially awkward and just strange as a kid. He had a father and his mother wasn't crazy as and he never dreamed he could rip stadiums and just lazy as a talent show in the gymnasium. You want him out the quit daydreaming, kid. You need to get your cranium checked. You're thinking like an alien, it just ain't realistic. Now pretend they ain't just make him angry with this. And there was no one he could even aim when he's pissed it. And his alarm went off to wake him, but he didn't make it to the Rap Olympics. Slept through his plane and he missed it. He's gonna have a hard time explaining to Haley and Laney these food stamps in this week. Cause he never risked. He hoped and he wished it, but it didn't fall in his lap, so he ain't even here. He pretends that
airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars. I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now. Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now.
What's up, K-Shakes listeners? Once again, this is the elephant in the room with yours truly, Chris Roberts. And so I said right before the break that I was going to talk about a little Tim Cook's idea about he wants to see a cashless society. And he believes that Apple Pay could be the catalyst for which the world switches from paper money to digital payments. The biggest challenge for Apple has been to get banks and retailers in on the service of Apple Pay. Yet over the past 2 years, they have added a number of banks and stores, as well as multiple countries to the Apple Pay platform. However, it is unclear how Tim Cook could eliminate cash. Apple Pay still has to be connected to a plastic card of some kind, and smartphone payment terminals are uncommon outside the U.S. Additionally, Apple Pay is only compatible with Apple products, which puts Android users in the dark, although they do have their own payment systems such as Google Wallet. It is more believable that services like Apple Pay could replace plastic cards and eventually cash. Forbes notes that Cook's comment on Apple Pay is notable. Apple Pay competes in a fledgling market and isn't generating substantial revenue for Apple. Cook's hopes for a cashless future suggests he's bullish on the technology potential and believes that Apple Pay could eventually become a major part of Apple's business. Apple Pay takes a 0.15% fee here in the U.S. and a more variable rates abroad. Cook also alluded to the idea of artificial intelligence and how that could also be a big moneymaker in the future in the same interview. Last week, Apple announced it would be opening up an AI research center in Japan. So it looks like, you know, at least big ideas or big dreams are on the horizon for Apple. I doubt a cash will disappear anytime soon, and I, for one, am too paranoid to put my cards into a digital wallet. Nevertheless, as more people use the technology, it's bound to be become more of a standard to become much more secure. And it has become quite a bit more secure. I mean, I granted the Russians keep hacking Hillary's emails and things like that, so I don't know how secure anything is. But like I said, you know, cash won't disappear for a while. You know, currency is still in the overall balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, you know, and is a large portion of that balance sheet. So it would take quite a large overhaul before you're going to get rid of any cash in this country. So anyway, let's get back to some more music here and take a quick another quick break. I want to get back. We got a new study about recreational marijuana in California, more so the business side than any of the fun side, so to speak. Anyway, I'm gonna play a little bit of classic rock. Finally, get this get the things a little slowed down. Actually, this is Layla, so it isn't that slow.
Thank you.
because that goes on for another 3 minutes, I decided we're going to cut that off a little early. Forgot that was the 40th anniversary edition of Layla. So anyway, right before the break, I said we were going to talk our last story. My last story of the day was the recreational marijuana study, the new recreational marijuana study done in California. So a study from an investment fund focused on legalizing cannabis called the Truth Enterprises found that recreational marijuana legalization in California could provide a huge economic boost, or at least a greater boost than they thought, or over the current one. According to the study, and if Sacramento became a hub for recreational marijuana, it could create as many as 20,000 jobs and bring in $4.2 billion. The researchers also consider the possibility that there could be legislation limiting the number and type of marijuana businesses that are allowed in the state. In that case, they say it would still create 1,600 jobs and bring in $322 million. I don't know if those figures are yearly. It didn't say. I would assume so. The entire Sacramento business community is looking at this with different eyes today, says Joshua Woods, CEO of the Sacramento Region Business Association. Daniel Conway, managing partner of the Truth Enterprises, says that California capital should be to cannabis what Detroit is to automobiles in terms of both a center of innovation as well as production. The results of the study come just a few weeks before voters in California will vote to support or oppose the full legalization in their state. Now, personally, I believe California is probably the last stepping stone before the stuff is legalized nationwide. California was one of the first to legalize medical marijuana, and many states followed suit. While California won't be the first to legalize recreational use, they are key in promoting the legislation across the United States. Federally, I'm not sure it will be legalized even with like a Hillary Clinton presidency, but I have no problem with it passing state by state. I think that's the basis it should go on, since that has been the norm so far. I mean, heck, it's even on the Arkansas ballot in a few weeks too. It's actually received quite a bit of support in the state. And you know, you're thinking about the South, or like, how in the world would the South ever do something like that? Well, you get one of those mid-border states like Arkansas or Virginia, for that matter, someone like that to, you know, at least pass lower punishments for it or pass a medical law of some kind. And then, well, then you've got the trickle-down effect, you know. And also, there's a large support for in Texas, just because Texas has got huge cities. It's got a large blue population. The state in and of itself is slowly starting to go more purple than it is red. So you never know. You really never know what's going to happen. Obviously, I think if the Don becomes president, he's probably going to appoint Chris Christie to be his attorney general, in which case legal marijuana may not even be a thing for the states who have already passed it, considering that guy, you know, just wants all the munchy Doritos for himself. Anyway, that's been the show for today. I know it's only 4:32. I thought I had a little bit longer of a show lined up, but I do have giant midterm tomorrow, so this is about as much as I could get done this week. So anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of blues for y'all to get out of here. This is a little blues group called Cry Love. Play a little Highway Jones. And I will see you guys next week, hopefully with a longer show because there won't be as much going on. But anyway, see you guys next week.